This is an iHeart podcast.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off. There's a danger out there. A danger for you, a danger for me, a danger for a business, a political party. There's something out there that's always lurking, and we're all susceptible to it. We have to be careful. We're going to look at that tonight. The 25th Amendment. You're hearing a lot of talk about the 25th Amendment. There's something about that you may not have thought of yet. And finally, Liz Cheney? All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. What's the CEO of McDonald's? What does he eat for dinner? You ever thought about that? Weird things like this cross my mind. I have no idea who the CEO of McDonald's is because I don't do research for the show, but just, you know, anything. CEO of McDonald's, what's he going to eat for dinner? I think we can safely assume, and I have no idea who this person is, he's probably fairly well off, probably doing okay. I don't know what he eats for dinner. I know one thing he doesn't eat, though. He probably doesn't eat McDonald's. Look, I love McDonald's. That was not a shot at McDonald's, but somebody like that probably not eating McDonald's. And there's a real danger in that. I talked to a business guy once. I'm not going to tell you the industry. Had a chance to sit down, have a bourbon with the guy. And he said, Jesse, the biggest danger I have, because his industry was selling to people of a lower income level than he was, and I mean drastically lower. This dude was a millionaire several times over. And he said, Jesse, the greatest danger I have is I don't exist anymore in the same world my customers exist. Now, he had come from that world, which helped him with the business model, but he said, look, I can lose touch so easily if I'm not careful. I'm a millionaire. I drive a Mercedes. All my friends are millionaires. I live in a gated area. My kids go to the perfect schools. We eat steak every single night. It's, you know, he eats whatever he wants, whatever he wants, does whatever he wants. They want to go on vacation to Barbados. They're there tomorrow. He said, not a single one of my customers live that life. And my biggest danger of losing everything I've ever built is the bubble I've made for myself. The bubble. You and I had better be careful of that in our own lives, in our own situations. Be careful of your own little bubble. Be careful when you aren't hearing voices outside of the little world you build for yourself. I have to be really careful of it. I mean, I still just live a normal life, but that doesn't mean I know what people in New York are thinking. People in Oregon are thinking. I live in Houston, Texas. I have my own little location bubble here, and I don't have the money to bounce around the country 24 hours a day and find out what this person or that person's thinking. We all have a bubble of some kind, and it can ruin you. If you begin to think whatever's happening in your own little world is happening everywhere, it can ruin you. And the Washington, D.C. area is death for Republicans. It's death for Republicans. And I know this because I used to live there. I lived there for a year. Moved there, lasted a little less than a year, threw the family in a van with no job and just left town. Just decided we were moving. That's how badly I hated the place. And I've watched so many of my friends in this business and politicians believe what you and I believe. And then they go back there. And because it is the ultimate insulated bubble, they lose their minds. They lose their touch. They totally lose touch on what's going on in the rest of America. And I've been there before. I have told you this story before where I took this trip back when I was running for Congress. I lost twice. I took this trip back to Washington, D.C., and this was in the heart of that Great Recession. You remember what that was like, the Great Recession? Wasn't that long ago where you and I are driving around town and every strip mall is empty now. Stores are closing. And it's just, it was really dark. It was a sad time out there. And I remember it hitting me everywhere I went, how sad it was and how everything was closing down. And it's just, it was terrible. I had to take my first trip ever to D.C. We hop on a plane, fly back to D.C. I had to go back, shake hands, kiss babies, ask for money, that kind of thing. We get there. Everything was brand new. There weren't empty shops on the side of the road. Everything was brand new. There was a brand new building, a brand new paved road, brand new hotels, brand new restaurants. They had just redone the airport. It was brand new. They live in the ultimate bubble of power and importance and money. All the richest counties are around D.C. These people are lost. I saw last night this Republicans supporting impeachment stuff. And of course, at first, I was angry. I was angry at how dumb they were. I just thought to myself, these people have to have the IQ of a squirrel. There's no other explanation. You can't possibly be that dumb. But they're not that dumb. I thought about it. They're in the bubble, and they can't make their way out. That's why they've never understood Donald Trump. That's why he caught them all by surprise. That's why they're understanding him. Somehow, they're understanding him even less now than they did before. And what do I mean by that? Well, rewind with me for just a little bit. Let's go back to George Bush. You remember George Bush's presidency? At least the high points. I don't expect you to have a list of his things in front of you. But you at least do remember, because this is my first introduction to it being this bad. You remember when the left turned the vitriol up to like 9,000, hanging him in effigy? That was the first time I started to hear things like Nazi this and Nazi that. And George Bush really did never clap back at anybody. And by the time Bush's presidency was over, there was a frustration on the right of, do something, huh? Go ahead and hit back if you wouldn't mind. And then we had 8 years of Barack Obama poking at the country and poking at the country and dividing the country and dividing the country. The first president I've ever had in my lifetime, and hopefully the last one, who I believe, I don't know what's in the man's heart, I believe genuinely hates the United States of America. And it came across in his speech all the time, apologizing, America sucks, and poking and poking and poking. And finally, and during that time, remember, we had McCain and Romney. And whatever your thoughts on John McCain or Mitt Romney are, we were all for him at the time, right? Just get rid of Obama. And that never seemed like they would fight. We want him to get up there and hammer him, and this guy's killing us, and why aren't you fighting? And they just kind of just lay down. And so by the time 2016 came around, we had this huge field of candidates. Remember, it was all kinds of candidates. Ted Cruz, I was a Ted Cruz guy, all these guys. And in comes Donald Trump, a vulgar, lifelong Democrat, definitely doesn't have the personal life that most Republican candidates normally have with the evangelical Christian base, you know, divorced 3 times. And down comes Donald Trump. He's calling women horse-faced, and this guy's an idiot, and Mexicans are rapists and criminals. And everybody, when he gave that speech about the people coming from Mexico right off the bat, everybody within the bubble heard it and went, oh, he just said illegal immigrants are criminals and bringing drugs here. These are the people who built America. And the rest of America outside of the bubble said, oh, yeah, that's obviously kind of true. Finally, someone speaks the truth. We're going to sign up for that. Oh, somebody's finally willing to hit these people back when they give dirty interviews and accuse people of terrible things. Oh, we're signing up for that. Oh, I don't care about anything else in his personal life. I want the guy who's going to hit back. Donald Trump was a symptom of what was happening out there. And here's what's happened for 4 years now, and now I'm totally convinced of it. Yeah, you had a bunch of weenie Jeff Flake Republicans who openly opposed Trump, and now they're gone. But you have a huge segment of the GOP, especially the traditional power brokers, the Cheneys, who live, work, and worship in the D.C. area. They live their lives, private planes, millionaires, steaks. They live in that D.C. bubble. And they've just been waiting for 4 years, hating Trump and waiting for him to be gone. Because once Trump's gone, surely that people will turn back to me. Surely they've seen enough of this nonsense. They're getting ready to turn back to me. Any minute now, they're going to turn back to me. It's because they have no idea that Donald Trump rode the tidal wave. Donald Trump didn't create the tidal wave. He rode the tidal wave. And now they view this disaster at the Capitol. They're not viewing this as Donald Trump's fault. Don't be fooled by that. They're viewing it as some kind of an opportunity to finally be rid of this icky Donald Trump for good. So then people will turn their lonely eyes back to them for leadership again. And that's why they're so incredibly stupid. That's why they have no pulse on the United States of America right now and the anger and the simmering hatred on the right. And that's the only explanation for doing something so stupid like impeaching him again. People are still mad about the last impeachment. And these morons, well, here's Liz Cheney, here's her statement. Quote, "The president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. There has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. I will vote to impeach the president." Never been. For one, can we dial down that little over-the-top dramatics, please? Never been a greater betrayal. Be serious. Be serious. I do have to say something on this. I didn't plan on saying anything, but obviously I don't like seeing the Capitol building stormed. I don't know that anybody looks at that and goes, "Woo, that's a great moment for the country." I thought the moment was inevitable. I think more moments like that sadly are inevitable, but I don't think anybody cheered for that. But I'm so sick of having to hear the word sacred used when they talk about the Capitol building. And you see these politicians responding as if this is the greatest affront in the history of mankind. Look, it's a big deal. I'm not minimizing raiding the Capitol. The Capitol building is not one bit more important than those small businesses that were burning this summer. Not one bit more sacred than your small business out there. It's a disgrace the way these people talk and the way they think of where they work versus where you work. Drives me insane. At least there are some conservatives in the GOP conference who think Liz Cheney went a little too far. Quote, "When Representative Cheney came out for impeachment today, she failed to consult with the conference, failed to abide by the spirit of the rules of the Republican conference, and ignore the preferences of Republican voters. She is weakening our conference at a key moment for personal political gain and is unfit to lead. She must step down as conference chair." She should. She has no idea what's going on in this country. Jim Jordan, to his credit, seems to have a good idea.
19 minutes. 19 minutes. 4 years ago on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017, 19 minutes into President Trump's administration, at 12:19 p.m., the Washington Post headline was, "Campaign to impeach President Trump has begun." And now, with just one week left, they're still trying. This is about getting the President of the United States. They spied on his campaign before he was elected. 19 minutes into his presidency, they started the impeachment push. Three-year Mueller investigation, 19 lawyers, 40 agents, 500 witnesses, 2,500 subpoenas, $40 million to find nothing. Impeachment round one based on an anonymous whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge who was biased against the president and who worked for Joe Biden. And now it's impeachment round two. It's always been about getting the president, no matter what.
Right. And the country sees it. Lauren Boebert, I like this new congresswoman. Here she is.
"Where's the accountability for the left after encouraging and normalizing violence? Rather than actually helping American people in this time, we start impeachments that further divide our country. I call bullcrap when I hear the Democrats demanding unity. Sadly, they are only unified in hate."
They are. What are the numbers? How in the bubble is Liz Cheney and people who support impeachment? Well, this is a battleground voter survey conducted by McLaughlin and Associates. 60% of all voters said impeachment is, quote, another waste of time and money. 23% prefer impeaching the president. 77% said coronavirus should work on, or said Congress should work on coronavirus response instead. 74% said impeachment is, quote, politically motivated to prevent the president from running again, end quote. And 65% said Biden and Pelosi are, quote, keeping the country divided. Beware of the bubbles. You may not be in a gigantic political bubble, but you're in one, and I'm in one. And bubbles make you stupid, and bubbles can cost you a lot. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, obviously, this seems to be a really good time to talk about Mammoth Nation, because the Republican Party is in drastic need of new blood and reform. We need military veterans running for office. We need people running for office who share your love of the country. We do. My love of the country. We have to have them. Now more than ever. But I don't expect you to be able to put in all the work and go out and identify these people. Mammoth Nation has. For $19 a year, you become a member of Mammoth Nation. And it's not just that your $19 goes to support the people running for office who will fight for you. It's that your $19 gives you great discounts on the things you love. Is that cool? You get discounts on everything. They get to run for office and try to save the place. Everybody wins. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. We'll be back. It is important that we tone down the rhetoric now, right? We should take advice from the Democrats. You see, the last thing in the world Democrats want is this over-the-top rhetoric that could possibly incite anybody to violence. You're never going to see something like that from a Democrat.
Well, Osama bin Laden did not enter U.S. soil on September 11, but it was widely acknowledged that he was responsible for inspiring the attack on our country. And the president, with his words, using the words fight, with the speakers that he assembled that day, who called for trial by combat and said we have to take names and kick ass, that is hate speech that inspired and radicalized people to storm the Capitol. And when you read the indictments from the U.S. Attorney's Office of people who've been arrested in their FBI interviews, they cite that they were called there by the president. They were in the Capitol because the president told them to do so. So we must hold this president accountable for his inciting words.
Are you comparing President Trump to Osama bin Laden?
I'm comparing the words of a individual who would incite and radicalize somebody as Osama bin Laden did to what President Trump did. You don't actually have to commit the violence yourself, but if you call others to violence, that itself is a crime.
Don't you feel the healing? Don't you feel the turning down of the temperature? I mean, I heard that. I'm more unified now than I've ever been before. Now, we're not only Nazis, we're Osama bin Laden protégés. These people love us, right? And look, I'm never going to minimize what happened at the Capitol. It's not a great scene, right? Had the American people storming the Capitol building. People were locked in hiding. Some lady gets shot in the face. It's terrible, right? Cop killed. It's terrible. But can we dial down the over-the-top rhetoric just a little bit before? I saw, of course, AOC had this to say. Come on.
I can tell you that I had a very close encounter where I thought I was going to die. And you have all of those thoughts where, you know, at the end of your life, and all of these thoughts come rushing to you. And that's what happened to a lot of us on Wednesday. And I thought I did not know if I was going to make it to the end of that day alive.
Come on. all of our politics now, let's set all the capital stuff aside. Doesn't all of our politics now seem like it's run by hysterical teenage girls? This constant over-the-top rhetoric and over-the-top emotion, and he's a Nazi, and he's a dictator, and he's a fascist, and I was gonna die, we're all gonna die! Gosh. All right. I'm getting email after email after email from you talking about how, Jesse, you don't understand, my phone's blowing up, I can't sleep! Jesse, my anxiety's through the roof! Jesse, tell me what to do! First of all, here's what I don't want you to do. I mean, you make your own decisions, but I don't want you to race to bad habits. We all, myself included, have a tendency to race to bad habits when things are going bad. And look, things are going bad right now. Maybe it's time for some natural solutions. Natural medicines and holistic healing approaches, these things are known to help alleviate anxiety, sleeplessness, joint pain. Maybe it's time you try CBD. I do. I go to doctorstrustedcbd.com, where I can buy things like Be Best Organics, which is certified organic and made in the USA, and they test every batch. Maybe it's time for you to give CBD a shot. Go to doctorstrustedcbd.com. While you're there, make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That'll save you some money. That gets you 5% off and a free lip balm. We'll be back. Oddly enough, they seem intent on impeaching Trump, going after Trump, removing Trump, blaming Donald Trump for what happened at the Capitol, when Donald Trump actually seems to be the only major politician interested in calming things down.
Millions of our citizens watched on Wednesday as a mob stormed the Capitol and trashed the halls of government. As I have consistently said throughout my administration, we believe in respecting America's history and traditions, not tearing them down. We believe in the rule of law, not in violence or rioting. Now is the time for our nation to heal, and it's time for peace and for calm. Respect for law enforcement and the great people within law enforcement, so many are here, is the foundation of the MAGA agenda. And we're a nation of law, and we're a nation of order.
There you go. Sounds like a man who wants things calm. But joining me now to talk about that, former counterterrorism super agent and current host of This Is My Show with Drew Berquist. Drew, I think if you're a Republican wanting to impeach the president, you are dangerously in a bubble and do not realize the anger out there right now. What say you?
No, exactly. I think it's a horrible decision on either side. And for everyone who's calling for unity right now, people are so out of touch. If they look at this, make this decision and say, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go impeachment right now when everything's so raw. But certainly on the GOP side, where everyone is so frustrated, upset for a myriad of reasons, if you think that this is going to end well for you, I think you're sorely mistaken. And it most certainly will. Maybe a couple come through unscathed, not unscathed, but they get through their next election. But the vast, vast majority, this will not be stood for.
Drew, I wonder, is it stupidity? Is it inside the bubble? But the Democrats in particular, the GOP I just generally assume is stupid and gutless. But Democrats in particular doing something at this point in time, it almost seems intentional, right? It seems like they're trying to provoke some idiot doing something dumb.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, look, I mean, there's a lot of hot tempers out there right now. There's a lot of people on the other side rejoicing. But as everything is being, you know, suppressed right now, people losing followers left and right, people being banned left and right, you know, people calling, you know, forgoing everything that happened last year, just giving it a pass, despite all the carnage, all the, you know, whether it's businesses, lives lost, all that stuff, to now focus on this. But they're laser focused. I talk about that on my show today. Like, look, guys, we've got to also play this smart, not just the politicians, but the people out there, because they are going to use anything and everything that happens to drastically start changing the rules on us. And there will be big consequences. There really will be. So I think that they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. I think that they'd love to see some more chaos come, because it just further proves their point. And again, they control all of big media. So they can put out whatever message they want. And right now their message is, see, we told you, Trump's crazy. His supporters are crazy. Now you got to listen to us.
I totally agree. And tell me what you mean, Drew. Elaborate on be smart. What does that mean? Because, look, everybody who watches this show is just an average Joe, and they're wondering, what should they do? What shouldn't they do? What's that mean, be smart?
Well, I've just been saying, look, and I don't have all the answers, but, like, obviously, you know me. But, like, I think, you know, there's talks about armed marches. There's talks about stuff like that. That's the worst possible thing you can do. Worst possible thing you can do, whether they're real, whether they're going to happen or not. Don't think about it. Don't do it. Because, A, you know something stupid's going to happen. It does it all of these things. And then they're going to go after, guess what, right afterwards. And they're going to have good ammunition, pun intended, to do it. So don't do stuff like that. And I think that the problem is everyone feels really helpless right now because they're so frustrated. The GOP is failing them. They have nothing that they can do or say because you can't push back against big tech, against the mainstream media, against just kind of this large apparatus that's very much against freedom and everything that we've known as a country to this point. But you've got to also be patient. Like, you don't, you know, the knee-jerk reaction from what's happening on the Hill right now is not the way that we should respond. I think that there's got to be just a little bit of patience as we kind of figure out, okay, what do we do next? How do we push back against this? You know, challenging the GOP members that are going against us, all that stuff is certainly a part of it. But not making drastic decisions where they can blow this something out of proportion and turn it against us.
Drew, what's the Drew Berquist advice for what we do have to do for the next 4 years? I understand we want everybody to calm down right now, and we certainly do. Don't want anyone getting hurt. But, yeah, well, look, we lost. For at least 2 years, we don't have control of anything. Rather than just banging my head off the desk here for two straight years, what can I do? I'm Joe Schmo. What can I do?
I think, you know, Joe Schmo is I think we start educating people, not like the annoying way where you're shoving stuff down people's throat, but educating people, letting people know there's a lot of people out there who don't watch the news the way that you or I do, certainly working in it, who don't troll and go back and forth, not troll people, but just spend all their time on Twitter or Facebook and see what's going on. So I think it's educating some of the people who have chosen, some of them have chosen not to, some of them have chosen to bury their head in the sands, but they've got to know what is going on out there, because I think there's a lot of people, including some Democrats, who would be very opposed to the kind of stuff that we're seeing and experiencing right now throughout the country if they just knew it was there. But guess what? The mainstream media is not talking about it because that would make them look awful. So we've got to let people know that. We've got to find places that we can, you know, not be crazy and violent, but be safe and talk and have platforms where we actually have a voice. Figure all that out as we come up with a strategy for what the GOP looks like moving forward and how we radically change it, because we need to. We need to change a lot of things. But I think again, it goes back to being patient, figuring out, you know, get your facts. Don't get all spun up on stuff that you saw on Twitter that's probably not true. Okay, there's unicorns are not real. And if they are, tell me where they are, because I want to see one. But we've got to just kind of like calm down, take a beat, figure this out, and then start developing things that we can control on our side, because you learn more and more, all these companies, we control nothing. Like, so we've got to figure that out.
Drew, let's go to another area of your expertise here, terrorism and things like that. People, it's easy to forget how horrible that was across the globe under Barack Obama, and that sounds terrible. I'm not blaming the worldwide terrorism on Barack Obama, but there was a period of time under his presidency it was really bad out there. ISIS was really spreading its wings. Are they gone? What should we be looking out for now as we enter into an era where I'm assuming we're going to be a little more lax when it comes to that?
Yeah, well, no, they're not gone. You know, you see every time, you know, we're really good at putting down a terrorist group every time they pop up, whether it's Al-Qaeda, you know, the Taliban, who is harboring them and working with them and are certainly extremists themselves. And then, you know, as that's happening, you've got splinter groups that are growing. You've got ISIS that popped up that no one was really paying attention to until, of course, they were really big. And then as that's happening, you've got Al-Qaeda reforming. They've got their offshoot groups. So that's not going anywhere. Look, there's so many big problems that we've got to face while fixing our big problems here, too. We've got some enemies within, no doubt, but we've got to worry about that, too. And by the way, all of them are thrilled that we're tearing each other apart right now and we're crumbling kind of at the seams. So we've got to figure our way through that, but there definitely are. And we're definitely, you know, I think more vulnerable, because you've also got with this, look, when all this stuff is going on, I think something that gets lost in it in the conversation is, with all the law enforcement officers out there, all the military officers out there, all of the intelligence officers out there, you've got their heartstrings being tugged in different directions too. And they're not exactly sure where this country is where their loyalties, like, their loyalties are to this country, and they should be. But, you know, with everyone saying, oh, we're going this way, and this guy's never going to be my president, or we're going this way, everyone's feeling that. Like, they're not immune to that. So I think that it's interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how, as new threats pop up, how people respond to them and where we are. You tweeted about it, too. We've got to. It's not going to happen under this administration. It's going to get worse. But we've got to cut through the bureaucracy. We've got to depoliticize these organizations, the military. We've got to go strongly after that, or these threats will become more real here.
Drew, what does it mean for the guys actually on the ground? I understand, because you're 100% right about the bureaucracies themselves, all of them. I mean, the head of the CIA, FBI, all of them need reform. But the actual guy on the ground is the one I'm asking about now, the guy who's out there in serious danger. What does this stuff mean for him? How does it make his life harder or easier?
Well, I think it makes it harder. Look, it's really frustrating to me to have deployed. I've deployed well over 30 times overseas to do God's work, and I loved every minute of it. But you do that, and you fight for everything you fight for, and then you see this happening back here. So one, I think it hits them, you know, in their gut, in their heart, and it's like, man, what's going on? Like, what am I fighting for here? These people are just as bad back home as what I'm facing over here, and it's not certain where things are going. So I think that's a tough thing. But I think otherwise, for the most part, they're focused on their job, you know, because if they're a good operator, they're good at whatever their specific job and role is, that once you're over there, you're so focused on the mission, or you should be, that's really the focus. Yes, this is a distraction. Yes, it's going to be confusing, but you've got to be on point, or obviously lives are on the line with the dangerous work that's done there. I think another concern, though, that's probably going through their mind is, and it's a legitimate one, is things open back up. We were allowed to do our job under President Trump. People who were out there doing counterterrorism work, counterintelligence work, whatever the work was, people were allowed to do their jobs and get it done. Under the Obama administration, we were handcuffed so bad to the point where a lot of people left at the end. They're like, this is pointless. I love this country. I love our mission, but we're not allowed to do it. And you can be darn sure that a lot of those types of policies and decisions are going to be made are going to leak back to, because this is basically Obama's third term. So it's going to get back to that. And I think that's probably a real concern for them.
Drew Berquist, thank you, my brother.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Home title lock. I've been talking to you for a long time about home title lock, but I heard this story again yesterday about somebody getting evicted, and I want you to understand that this is real. This is real. Cybercrime's up 75% right now. This home title theft thing is something law enforcement does not have a handle on. And if they get a hold of your home title, because your home title's online, and it's easy for them to hack it, if they get a hold of it, you're in very serious trouble. They are going to forge your signature on it. They did it to me. You should see it. I thought it was real. I couldn't understand what I was looking at. They're going to forge your signature on it. They're going to go take a loan out against it. And you are either going to pay that loan back, or what sadly happens a lot is you throw away the bills that keep coming due because in your mind you didn't take out the loan, right? And then eventually you get an eviction notice in the mail that is very, very real. Don't get caught like that. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and sign up today. HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code RADIO when you get there. That'll get you 30 free days of protection. We'll be back. Joining me now, as he has before, one of my favorite guests, Tom DelVicaro. He is now the chairman of, pay attention to this, RescueCalifornia.org. We're going to talk about that in a second. And he's also the author of Divided Era. Tom, what's Rescue California? What's wrong with California? And who are you trying to save it from?
What's wrong? You don't, your show, I would be on your show the rest of the year if I, what's wrong with California? But clearly, Gavin Newsom is in over his head. California can't safely deliver electricity. He can't handle the wildfires, the riots he did poorly, and now he's blown the COVID, whether it's the shutdowns, the rollout of the vaccines, or the fact, Jesse, that he predicted there would be a surge this winter, but hasn't led an effort to increase the number of hospital beds. He's blown it. And yesterday, Jesse, he's in what is smacks of desperation, he sent out some of his soldiers to smear people like me, claiming I was for violence in Washington, calling me a white nationalist, or at least inferring that the leaders of this effort. So rescuecalifornia.org, I'm chairman of that. It's an organization that raises money and is mailing petitions directly to voters, recall petitions. California has a system where you can recall a governor if you get a certain number of signatures. We need 1.495 million valid signatures. Overall, we're passing 1.1 million. We think we'll be at 2 million. Thanks for putting that up. We think we will reach 2 million by the March 1st.
Okay, well, this is exciting news. And for everybody out there screaming at the TV, I don't care about commie California, let me be clear, you should. One, it's a beautiful state. Two, it is a huge part of our economy. America is better if California is churning well. Tell me, what does it mean if you actually get him recalled? I despise Gavin Newsom. So what does this mean? Is he gone? Does he have to run in another election? What does it mean?
Well, and adding to what you said before about why they should care about California, Gavin Newsom wants to be president of the United States. And he's unfit for this job. He's certainly unfit for...
Please, no. Don't talk like that, Tom.
So if we get the number of 1.5 million valid signatures, and I think we're going to reach 1.2 million signatures by the end of this week, and we still have 8 weeks to go, if we get there, and we're about 90,000 a week, if we get there, then what happens is there's a period of time where the government verifies the signatures are actual signatures. Think about that. Suddenly they're going to care about valid signatures. And then once that happens, 2 to 3 months later, they have 60 to 80 days to set a special election where it's only Gavin's recall on the ballot. No other questions, no other initiatives. Two questions, should Gavin be recalled? Second question, from the list below of people who have qualified, who should replace him? And if the answer is yes to the top, then the top vote getter below, regardless of the percentage vote they get. Last time we got a recall here, 132 people signed up. The winner didn't get 50 to 50%. So whoever gets the most votes, and here's the best part, 10 days later, they become governor, which means if we finish this by mid-February, hand in the required number of signatures, we could have a new governor in August before Gavin Newsom signs some of the 700 bills that come out of Sacramento every year.
Rescuecalifornia.org, right? Rescuecalifornia.org. Yeah. Everybody hear that, because it matters. All right, we're going to change gears here for a moment. You just brought up something about they're finally going to check signatures now. Something I am hearing a lot of, Tom, is my vote doesn't matter anymore. My vote doesn't matter anymore. How do we fix that? Because in the Republican side, I don't care how much people yell at these people and call them idiots or make fun of them or whatever they do, there is a growing sentiment that voting doesn't matter because Democrats are going to cheat. How do we fix either the cheating or that thinking in people? Because one of the two had better be fixed by the time another election rolls around.
Well, you're centering on the issue of what Republicans need to do to regain, Trump is gonna be gone. There is a lot of anger about the way he's being treated. And Trump voters are more upset with Washington today than they were Washington, D.C. today than they were 4 years ago, because government is failing them still. And Republicans, if they want to be competitive in the future, have to actually do something. It's not about rhetoric. You can't say, elect us and we will. Within the next 2 years, they should lead a nationwide effort, but specifically in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, where they have majorities in the legislature. The Republican focus nationally to raise money, coming out of Washington, giving help. And in those state legislatures, they must reform the laws and make sure that elections are safe in those states. Because as you point out, look, the Democrats are going to go far left. They're going to fight with each other. Their approval rating is going to drop through the floor. But the security risk of elections remains, and Republicans must act to clean that up, or this could be folly, as you're alluding to.
Tom, I know you can see it because you're not in the Washington, D.C. bubble, but I've been screaming about this all night. I mean, we have Republicans like Liz Cheney signing on for the impeachment of the president and things like that. How do we bridge this disconnect between the D.C. establishment types and the anger of the population? They don't realize the anger is why they got Trump in the first place. Now, as you just pointed out, they're more angry. They're going to get Donald Trump times 10 next time if they're not careful.
Yeah, you hit on it, Jesse. This is why I like being on your show. That's why Trump came along. As I talk about in my book, The Divided Era, third parties and outsiders come into being when government fails us, right? So that's where you go to outsiders. And Trump, of course, is the ultimate outsider, never elected in office before, new to the Republican Party, you could say, in some respects. They went to an outsider. And, you know, keep in mind, the Republicans usually fight City Hall by promoting governors to be president, people not from Washington, D.C. So Republicans in Washington need to understand that the electorate is different than it was even 4 years ago, that the base reasons that Trump got elected remain, and that they need to appeal to those people with reforms. Not just in words, though. They need to spend the next 2 and 4 years doing things to restore the connection between the millions that voted for Trump and their efforts to retake the White House and retake the House and Senate.
How does that message get through, Tom? Do we need... I've never been a third party guy. As much as I scream at the GOP and I just want to choke somebody sometime, I've never been third party guy. Are we there? Is that, I hate to say that. Are we there? Do we need it?
Well, again, third parties come about through frustration that the other parties aren't. The Republican Party, keep in mind, replaced the Whig Party because the Whig Party had no viable answer to slavery in the territories or to the advance of slavery. So yeah, that's the risk you're talking about. The Republican, you know, as a practical matter, we just spent $14 billion in the last cycle. 14, that's up from 8 the cycle before. So it's very difficult for a third party to get started because there's not enough money to compete with that unless Jeff Bezos created it himself, and we know where Amazon is today. So the big risk is we're not going to see a third party, but we're going to see the bigger risk to Republicans is that people sit home because they don't believe you're doing anything. And that's why leadership is more action, Jesse, than it is talk. Leadership is a physical thing. George Washington created this country because he physically was part of the revolution, and he physically went around to talk to people and did his tour of the country. He didn't just write letters, and Republicans need to understand that example.
Tom, thank you so much. Outstanding as always.
All right, hope to see you soon. Thanks so much for all you're doing.
Appreciate you. RescueCalifornia.org. I really mean this. You can dismiss California and Californians all you want, and I have fun doing that too. But we do need that state to get its head on straight. We do. It's better for the entire country if California is doing well. We need them doing well, and their governor is an idiot. All right. Hang on. We're not done yet. You know, there's some anger out there. Some people are angry. And Chuck Schumer, he found out. Sit back and enjoy.
Take your hands off me. No, no, you don't need to talk to me. I'm talking to this racist anti-Semite. I am glad I didn't think that the Trumpsters had it in them. I didn't think the conservatives did. But you know what? You racist socialists can dish it out, but you can't take it. And remember this, Adolf Hitler was a socialist. And that's exactly who you follow. You're nothing but a coward. See, you hide underneath your desk. I actually got sexually excited over it. That's how much I loathe you. That's how much I'm glad what they did. And like Nancy Pelosi said, people do what they do. After all, she doesn't care about monuments, and neither do I. And where the First Amendment doesn't say that you have to protest peacefully and politely. As long as there's outrage and unrest in our hearts, there's going to be unrest in these streets. I don't give a shit whether you believe me. You're nothing but a cracker. That's all you are, is a racist cracker. These Trump supporters are going to go to your house. They're going to go to Pelosi's house. They'll destroy her vineyards, and I will be right there to support them. Don't you say it's enough. No, no, shut up. Shut up. Shut the f*** up. Shut the f*** up. This is a racist. He's an anti-Semite. He said if you criticize Obama, you're a racist, but he criticized him against the Iranian deal. Not only are you a racist, Schumer, you're a hypocrite. Take your hands off me, 6 feet. 6 feet. This, no, no. 6 feet. Stand down. Stand down. Stand down. You can dish it out, but you can't take it.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is an iHeart podcast.